TalkZone.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, live from the multi-million-dollar interstellar media broadcast communication studios, it's Lawyers Who Needs Them, featuring Randall Simonetti and Jim Hartman. And now, here's Jim and Randall.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome to Lawyers Who Needs Them. I'm Randall Simonetti.
And I'm Jim Hartman.
And my partner, Mr. Hartman, is considered one of the nation's top trial attorneys, and he's argued before the United States Supreme Court.
And my partner, Randall Simonetti, is the founder and CEO of Ignition Consulting, serving business, education, and nonprofit clients throughout the United States.
Now, each week, James and I attempt to take the mystery and complexity out of our legal system
and inject some common sense and perhaps a sense of humor back in.
Now, each week, you can send us questions, which we'll answer a little bit later in the program. You can send those by email to info@lawyerswhoneedsthem.com. So we don't have a mailing address because we don't have an office. We have a studio, but we don't have an office. Anyway, but you can get to us by email at info@lawyerswhoneedsthem.com, and then you won't waste a lot of paper and postage. And if you want to know a little bit about the show, you can go to the official website, lawyerswhoneedsthem.com, and you can find out why we were put on probation and have to do this show. Anyway, I think it's time, James. Are you ready? So without any further ado, let's kick off this week's edition of Lawyers Who Needs Them. Now, the stem cell controversy had died down for a while, but it has now burst onto the scene anew.
Well,
what's going on?
Well, a federal judge enjoined the further research regarding new lines of stem cell research.
Now you have to explain what enjoined means to our listeners.
It means to stop, you know, to prevent you. It's like an injunction.
Okay.
It means an injunction is the ablative of the positive, where you accentuate the negative. I mean, I don't know what it is.
Oh, I like the ablative.
But to enjoin,
right,
is a verb. An injunction is a noun. Okay, so the judge, United States District Court Judge Royce Lamberth, indicated that the embryonic cells, the experiments on human embryonic cells, violates a 1996 law that prohibits the government from supporting any research that harms or destroys human embryos. Now,
okay,
it means you can do the research, but the government's not going to pay for it.
Okay.
In other words, this lesson joins the payments. But without the payments, these people, because these are these university people, they're
right,
types, that they live on government grants.
Of course.
Contributions. They don't earn money.
No.
They make money the old-fashioned way.
They borrow it.
They steal it. So they borrow it, yeah. So they depend,
borrow it from someone else.
That's right.
The taxpayer.
Well, they're not borrowed. They're grants. These are grants. And they're
right,
federal funds. And the funds are used for, you know, a lot of research. You know, I shouldn't be facetious about it. You know, cancer research.
Yes, yes.
AIDS research.
Yes.
A lot of it is federally funded. But they did pass this. They say you can't do it because you have the people that think that human life begins in an embryo. And,
right,
and I'm not saying right or wrong. But anyway, they felt a bit wrong. That would be taking a life if you took an embryo.
Right.
So because of that, they passed this legislation in 1996.
Who was president back in 1996?
Was that Clinton?
Could be. Let's see. I'll check with our legal historian, Edward Faversham. We should have it was Clinton. See how fast he is? Faversham is quick.
Yeah.
Yes.
Are you going to let me finish with this, or are you going to worry about Faversham?
No. Faversham was just trying to help us out.
Okay.
Thank you, Edward.
Anyway, so the Obama administration, that it plans to appeal the judge's decision.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Obama administration is in favor of embryonic research. And a lot of money's at stake. For instance, there are grants between $15, $20 million, $54 million are up for annual review. And I don't know. They're all trying to get whatever money they can get steal before the grants are stopped.
Okay.
Generally, this law professor, Russell Korobkin at the University of California, Los Angeles.
Yeah, Kuki Korobkin. I know him.
Hi, very good guy.
Yep.
Only served several years. a preliminary injunction is issued in cases in which the judge feels, this is a preliminary injunction,
right,
feels a plaintiff is threatened by irreparable harm if the situation continues. In other words, if the status quo will involve irreparable harm, but he doesn't see any irreparable harm in this case, neither do I. I mean, what's irreparable about it? the science is the thing that's irreparable, I believe, is that if you kill an embryo,
it's gone.
Death has a certain finality.
Yes,
to
it does.
It's
yes,
hard
it does.
To change it. When you're over, you're over. When it's done, it's done. When the curtain comes down, the show is over.
Yep.
So that we're going to have to follow this and
all
see
right,
what
we'll
happens. By the way, the law, which was in stake, is called the Dickey Wicker Amendment.
To the Dickey
it's a funny,
Wicker
it's a wacky Wicker.
Did you make that up?
I did not. I'm
it's
reading it as
what?
I say. It's Judge Lambert's interpretation of the Dickey Wicker Amendment to the 1962 law, which prohibits federal support for research that harms embryos.
All right.
Congress could decide now.
Wicker Amendment.
Now, Congress, those were two congressmen, probably.
Okay, yes.
The Congress now could decide to clarify the role of the federal government in this kind of thing, and they could pass other legislation. But for the time being,
it's enjoined.
It certainly has the medical community, research community, up in arms or up
right.
in something. They're all very confused, and I don't blame
they're
them.
They're up in formaldehyde.
And I'm right. confused, too.
You know, and I was surprised that you were able to come out with the Clinton there and didn't confuse him with Rutherford B. Hayes.
Yes.
Who was president
I knew
when you were...
I used to call him Ruthie. He was a wonderful fellow, brother. Just a nice guy.
Yeah.
Didn't accomplish very much. But
no,
he was
not
a nice
as a president.
Guy.
Not very successful.
But they served. I mean, they served the dinner at the White House. Knock your eyes off.
Oh, I know.
Oh, knock your socks off.
Hayes was kind of heavy, wasn't he?
As I recall, he was a little portly.
Yes.
Not like Taft, though, who was enormous.
Oh no, Taft was. He was a two-seater, as we say.
That's right.
Okay.
Had they had airplanes in those days, he would have to go first class.
No question.
Or pay for two seats.
That's right. Okay. Well,
he was big at both ends.
Yes, he was.
And
yes.
He needed the seat.
And some of us have an appreciation for being big at both ends.
Yes.
All right.
Right.
Now, let's take our next case.
Yes.
Please.
Yeah.
370 illegal aliens were arrested this week across the Midwest.
Well, that's an interesting thing because we're all very conscious of aliens and illegal aliens.
Right.
And illegal immigrants are what we're talking about. But in a sweep of the Midwest, federal officials said that they arrested 370 illegal immigrants. Not only aliens, illegal immigrants.
Okay.
And immigration fugitives during a three-day Midwest sweep. Now, I don't know what part of the Midwest they swept, but, you know, usually the Midwest is anything from, I would say, Ohio to
right.
To Minnesota to over to the Dakotas, and that becomes the West. In any event, 60 arrests announced in Michigan. 28 were in Metro Detroit. They included a 38-year-old German man who lived in Inkster, which is a suburb of Detroit.
Right.
And he had been convicted of criminal sexual conduct, and 25-year-old Liberian man who lived in Pontiac, and he was convicted on drug charges and criminal sexual conduct. These are the kind of aliens running around.
Right.
All these people who are so gracious to our illegal immigrants.
Right.
You've got to look into their backgrounds before we start legalizing them. You're going to legalize sex maniacs?
Well, the president wants to make everybody legal here. He just wants to wave his hand, as they used to say in Italy, the Pope, but just to simply wave it. He'll wave it.
Make it the hand.
Make it the hand and just to wave it.
Everybody agree.
Right. There's no rule. Just to wave it.
347 people with criminal convictions were arrested. These are our illegal immigrants. You tell me they shouldn't be deported and they should be prevented from receiving citizenship. You can't.
Right.
That includes 9 gang members, 16 convicted sex offenders, 56% of those arrested had convictions for serious or violent crimes, including armed robbery, drug trafficking, child abuse.
A great group.
I mean, and this is what
we're
dealing with. Now, we got 12 million illegals in here.
Right.
How many of those are people of this ilk?
That's right. Now, let me ask you a question. Look closely at that. Does anyone?
I'm looking.
Is anyone in our orchestra mentioned? Okay. All right.
Will you please?
Here's a friend
don't
of yours.
Those guys. The only kind of music they can play is on guitars. That's all Mexican.
Right. Well, we do have a Mexican guitarist.
Yeah, we do.
Yes.
When you play on.
All right. Are you ready?
Yes.
65-year-old judge defends his home and kills an intruder.
Right.
What do you think about that?
I think that's probably the right thing to do. This was a Georgia judge. And he was 65 years old, and in his Richmond County home, An intruder came in, a 20-year-old guy by the name of John Howard Jr., and another man allegedly threw a rock through his window at the judge's home and entered and went upstairs. The judge, hearing the voices, grabbed his gun, found Howard coming down the stairs with a bandana over his face, and he fired, hitting him in the chest, and ultimately he died.
Uh-huh.
Now, in Georgia,
yes,
and I'm saying this is not for everybody, don't right. start buying guns to shoot intruders. In certain states, if someone breaks into your house, in Georgia, they expect and hope that the judge, in this case Judge Overstreet, would do that. People would do exactly what he did.
Right, to protect himself.
If someone walks inside your house there, you can kill them, because in certain jurisdictions, you are entitled to use deadly force in your own home. You don't have to justify it. You don't have to use what's reasonable under the circumstances. It is presumed that in your home, you can use force to the extent of killing the guy. Now, I know in our state, in New York you
yep.
cannot. You have to go through a whole rinky-dink. And, you know, in our state, the criminal is always presumed innocent. He is presumed
right.
innocent. But everybody
gives him a break.
You know.
You got to say, are you carrying a gun?
Yes. Have you a gun? Let me use reasonable force.
Hold on. I'll be right back.
And I'll hit you with a feather. So that you can't do. I think that the rule concerning using deadly force in your own home is a good rule, and you should be able to do it.
That's right.
We are absolutely inundated with violent crime in this country. And the only way you're going to stop it is to
protect
be permitted
yourself.
To protect
because
yourself.
You can't wait for a policeman. And by the way, a research report just came out that said there is a direct relationship between the increase in private citizens legally owning guns and a decrease in crime.
Yeah.
If you think about the Old West, not that I was in New York City this week and I took the subway out
that
to Queens.
That ain't the Old West.
No, but
that
there are some sections that do look like... It was the OK Corral.
Well,
in those cases, you're better off defending
like
yourself.
They look like Afghanistan.
Yeah, there was some pretty scary places. What I liked about Lower Queens is that there are no blank walls, no white spaces, we say in the advertising business.
It's all graffiti.
Everything is graffiti. Some of it's quite nice.
And some of it's quite
horrible.
Obscene.
Right, yes, but it's wherever you go, that's... In fact, I stopped for a light with a truck when he left. He had a beautiful graffiti on the back. In 3 minutes, they had it covered. Now, we're going to take a short break because we're going to come back and cover the rest of this in a little more than 3 minutes.
Right.
Don't go away. You're listening to Lawyers Who Needs Them.